Hello, my name is Edgar King, and I am the lead pastor of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. I am so grateful that you are tuning into our podcast today. Head over to our Facebook page and see some of the information that you may need if you're in Nakuru and you'd like to join us. Nonetheless, we will still be online for those who are unable to join us in person. Thank you very much. I hope this installation of talks today will be a blessing to you.
It's better when there's people and they can smile back. I wouldn't see it. Please, if you have your mask off, please put it back on. You know, just so we keep each other safe. But I can see, you can see eyes, smiling eyes, so that would be very good. So if there's a truth that we've constantly been reminded of in 2020, is that change is constant. It just keeps happening. It won't stop. You know, situations change, people change, relationships change, the world around us changes. And you know what? Change makes us anxious because it keeps showing us how not in control we are. So change makes me very anxious. And if we're all honest, change makes all of us very anxious because we just started getting used to something and then it changed. I thought this was my life and then it changed. I thought this was my job and then it changed. I thought this was the person I married, then she changed, then he changed. Change makes us anxious, whether change isn't necessarily a bad thing. It could be changing for better or changing for worse. Whatever it is, change does make us anxious. You know, and as much as we know, because we intuitively know that change is inevitable, but as much as we know change is inevitable, we're always searching. We're wired to look for something we can anchor our souls in that is not changing. There's just something inside us that drives us to look for something unchanging. It's in the way we talk. Hey, I'm hoping to get into a stable relationship. I'm hoping to be financially stable. What are we saying? Everything around me is changing so fast. I'm hoping that there can be a few things that are unchanging for me to anchor my soul in. And then we often make one terrible mistake over and over again. We then anchor ourselves in the same places that we've already established are changing. We anchor ourselves in our spouses and partners. We hope to find stability there. We anchor ourselves in our economies, in our national identities, and those keep changing. We can see that happening, especially in the last few years. National identities are changing so fast. That's the reality of life, yet we keep making the same mistake, hoping that maybe this time this will be the stable thing I was hoping for. Maybe this time this family will be stable. We keep forgetting the one true thing that we've established. Change is constant. So my invitation has been, okay, what if we start this journey of anchoring ourselves, because we will always be living in this tension of hoping this one thing around us will be unchanging, but we know it keeps changing. What if we start this journey intentionally of anchoring our souls, planting our souls in the unchanging God and all his unchanging attributes? We know that his love is unchanging. It will never fail. It will never change. It doesn't matter where we wake up. It doesn't matter. There's a song my dad loved, and I've probably said this here before. It used to go, I don't care where you've been sleeping. I don't care who's made your bed. I already gave my life to set you free. And that's the truth. God's love is unchanging no matter what. Sadly, sometimes in church, we would like some people for God to hate. So we're like, well, if this is where you woke up, God doesn't love you. No, God's love is unchanging. God's kingdom, what Joy was talking about last week, is unchanging. What if we anchor our souls in the unchanging God? But that's great. But what do? When the reality of change is overwhelming, like 2020, change has happened ever so quickly, we're so aware. There's anxiety everywhere because everything keeps changing so fast. So it's okay to want to anchor ourselves in the unchanging God. But what we do when just changes around us are a little bit overwhelming. Think about our own country and all the things that are changing. The other day I read a headline that said, it could have been a meme, but you know, let's just give it credibility and say it was a headline. That the education secretary opened schools for teachers and left the learners at home. That thing just keeps changing. We really don't know when schools will open. We just keep watching for, you know, whatever. Next time maybe only head teachers will be sent to school. There was a high power COVID conference maybe last week, I think, and the deputy president wasn't there. Do you remember the days when everybody thought that his partnership with the president will never change? Oh, maybe our country will be stable finally because these two are going to partner. Well, that's changing. Politics in this country are changing every day. National identities are changing. There was a time when Britain was a beacon of the European Union, and the European Union is now taking legal action against Britain. Things are changing. Some of us grew up thinking, you know, thanks to Hollywood, thinking that the US is the most stable country in the world. That's changing right now. Things are changing. So what do we do when change is happening so fast? Some of you have experienced so much change in your own lives this year, and it gives a whiplash. What do you do when change is happening so fast it's overwhelming? What do you do when the anxiety it's causing is overwhelming? What do you do when the pain it's causing is overwhelming? What do you do when things are not changing for the better sometimes? I want to invite us to anchor ourselves in an unchanging hope. That, you know what, things will get better. Because here is the thing, and I've used this quote here before, the worst thing is not the last thing. The worst thing you've experienced this year is not the last thing. The worst thing the world has gone through is not the last, and I'm not saying like, well, that's not the last worst thing we'll experience. I'm saying that it doesn't have the final say. Some, you know, one song that I never get to sing is, who has the final say? Actually, God has the final say. The worst thing that you've gone through is not the last thing. And we can anchor ourselves in that hope. That God has better things coming for you, better things coming for this, for your family, better things coming for this country, and the ultimate good, the ultimate better is the fulfillment of the kingdom of God when we see Jesus again. The worst thing is not the last thing. I want to introduce to some of you may know him, a church leader by the name Peter. Now, he's long gone, so it's not like... he was one of the former followers of Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He was a big fish, right? So after Jesus, then there is Peter. He was a leader of the church in Jerusalem. He was an authority, and he wrote letters to encourage believers during very interesting times. He wrote a letter to encourage believers at a time when he was actually hiding for his life. So terrible things are happening. Believers were being persecuted. So they were going through really, really hard times. This is the context in which Peter is writing. And guess what? So just, a little beyond that, at least fun things happen and they can. So a little beyond that, Peter gets arrested and he's crucified upside down. So there's a lot of worse things that happen, okay? So this is the guy we will read a letter from today. 1 Peter 3:8. Celebrate with praises the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wait a minute. Again, just Keep in mind as we read this that the church is being persecuted, and persecution wasn't, well, they don't like me. No, they were being killed. Okay, keep in mind that Peter had been arrested before and miraculously freed. He was supposed to be executed, but an angel freed him. So he is in hiding. So keep in mind, things aren't looking good. Things have changed so fast and they're not looking good. But Peter is talking about celebrate with praises. But then here's the thing, because we are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, that can never be defiled, that can never diminish. It is promised and preserved forever in heavenly realms for you. Through our faith, the mighty power of God constantly guards us until our full salvation is ready to be revealed in the last time. May the thought of this cause you to jump for joy, even though lately, this sounds right for us, even though lately you've had to put up with a lot of grief and many trials. But these only reveal the sterling core of your faith, which is far more valuable than gold that perishes. For even gold is refined by fire. Your authentic faith will result in even more praise, glory, and honor when Jesus is anointed, the anointed one is revealed. That's up to 8. Peter keeps talking about, hey, listen, people, let's praise. Why? Because we have an everlasting hope that our full salvation, yes, we've received salvation, but there's a full salvation that will be revealed. And you know, let me just invite us to this place that the word salvation, it isn't as little as we've made it nowadays. Oh, yes, I said this prayer and now I'm saved. No, the word salvation was big. It's God's kingdom come. It's healing. It's restoration. It's the fulfillment of all of God's promises. So Peter is saying, yes, we can celebrate because we have hope of our full salvation to be revealed. And this is why. Because of the death and resurrection of Jesus. That's the whole thing. And if you think about it, that was thought to be the worst thing. You know, what could be... Well, in some movies they go, well, that I'll treat you in a way that is worse than death. Some people claim that there are other things worse than death. And that there might as well could be. But Jesus died. And they saw him resurrect. This is what is giving them hope. We saw it happen. He was with us, then he was gone. Everything we're going through is nothing compared to the fact that he was resurrected and he will come back again. And remember the background I'm giving you. That he's not writing at an easy time. He's not writing at a time when there's celebration for him. He's not writing at a time when the church is doing great and it's thriving. He himself is hiding. The church is hiding. You know? And he's not necessarily saying, guess what, tomorrow will be a great day. Now that's possible. But that's not what Peter is saying. He's saying, you can have praise now because God has given us everlasting hope, something that cannot ever be taken from us because of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's not saying tomorrow will be better necessarily, you know? And that's not a very popular message in church, is it? To just look at the faithful and tell them, tomorrow might still be tough. But don't lose your praise, because there's a hope, there's an unchanging hope of our full salvation, of something that could never be taken away. I remember sitting with a friend, some friends for a meal at the beginning of the year, and you know, we were following the news, and after lunch, I said, you know, this thing is going to come and it's going to hit the world big. And she said, no. Pastor, you're always telling us to speak life. How could you say that? Because it's not a popular message to say, well, things might be a bit hard. You know, sometimes we've practiced a Christianity that is about denial. You know, we've practiced a Christianity that is about saying that bad things don't happen to believers. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, the truth is there's only one good person and the worst thing happens to them. But we've practiced this Christianity that is of denial, that says bad things shouldn't. If God is for us, these things shouldn't happen. But that story is very different from the life that Jesus led. That story is very different from the one that Peter and other leaders of the church are leading. They're saying, hey, you can have praise because God has stored for us something that could never be taken away. But they are writing that while they are in hiding. Some wrote while in prison. We've practiced sometimes a Christianity that is not what God has invited us into. You know, so when bad things happen, we get stuck. We don't know what to do with it. When you've invested your life, your time, everything, and that marriage crumbles, and that relationship crumbles, and that business crumbles, and life just changes. We get stuck. Partly that's just human, but the other portion is we've practiced a faith that isn't what we were invited to. We get stuck. So we end up saying things like, well, it could be God's punishment for sin. Well, maybe I didn't have enough faith. But you see, that's not what we're being invited to. Now, the good news is, because we shouldn't miss the good news that Peter is talking about. The good news is that we have something that cannot be taken away. We have life that cannot rot. We have an eternal celebration waiting for us. That's the good news. Now, but that's just part of the good news. See, let's just dig into the good news a little bit, because there's danger in people doing their life of faith as if everything is for the future and God can't do anything now. Now, that's dangerous too. Okay, so let's dig into a bit into the good news. The good news is that God is not far from us. The whole idea that God would come to us, that Jesus would come to us, was God saying, I am within reach. I am coming into your story. I am coming to live among you. God is not far from us. God is not far from the broken. God is not far from the weak. And Jesus kept saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Really, it's saying, if you reach out your hand, you can reach out to God. It's that close. That's how close God is. Sadly, the worldviews around that we're surrounded with are worldviews that say, one, either God is not there at all, And when we're hit hard by the world, we just go, maybe God isn't there. Or some are in this place where maybe God is there, but if he is there, he really doesn't care about humanity. Why? Because he didn't do anything. And then there is the other piece that the people say, well, maybe God is there, and maybe he does get involved, but every time he gets involved, it's always for his pleasure or for our pain. It's like, God couldn't be good. Why? Because he didn't do anything when I needed him. But you see, that's the exact opposite of what Jesus showed. Because him coming, and what did Jesus do? He loved the poor. He touched lepers, people who no one wanted. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. What is he doing? He's combating all these worldviews. That actually, when God comes, he comes because he loves his people. As God moves in, he changes things. So one, he's saying, no, I am here, and I want to be part of your story. I'm stepping into your reality. And two, he's saying that when I step into your reality, it is for your good. It is for your good. And that's why I think the story has always been, repent, for the kingdom of God is so close to you. Because it needs a change in how we think. It needs a change in our mindset. It needs some of us to move from thinking God isn't there to saying, you know what, I want to step into this reality. It means some of us stepping from a place of thinking God doesn't care to saying, okay, I want to try believing that you care. That's the good news, that the kingdom of God is within our reach and the evidence is all around us. What does good news look like for us, you know? God is moving close to you. You know, if I was on phone with my brother yesterday, and I said, I'm tired. This has been the longest year. I'm done. And it's just October. And if you felt a little bit of that, welcome. If you felt disappointed, if you felt hurt, welcome. Here's the good news, that God is moving close to you. That God wants to forgive the dark secrets you keep, that you're thinking, this is the reason if God even moved, he wouldn't move close to me. God is moving close to you to forgive those. And that's why a lot of times, you know, sometimes during prayer ministry, I just feel like some people just need to hear that you're forgiven. He wants to forgive those. God wants to heal, and he is healing both your physical ailments and your psycho-spiritual and emotional stuff. When God moves in, he does those things. He heals those things. And we've seen great stories of healing. I wish we'd see them more and more and more frequent, and we're looking forward to that, but we've seen them, and that's evidence of God's kingdom come. The other significant part of the good news is that God has entered our story, but we will still go through some really hard things. Because the story is that God entered the story of humanity and still evil happened to him. God entered the story of humanity and still evil happened to him, even to dying on the cross. It challenges the Christianity that sometimes we've lived out, that bad things shouldn't happen if we believe. God himself entered the story of humanity and evil happened to him. This is actually the story we're living out. You know? It's not that things won't get hard. It's not that hearts won't break. It's not that you won't have to start over again from time to time. It's that God is going to be by your side through it all. And that he will feel those things with you. This is the other part of the good news. But the story doesn't end there, does it? Because the worst thing happened to Jesus, but it wasn't the last thing. He conquered death, essentially saying, hey, I will walk with you through the hardest bits, but guess what? Life awaits us on the other end. That the worst thing is not the last thing. Now we see the kingdom from time to time, but a time is coming when we will see the full victory of the kingdom of God. We will beat death. We will beat sin. We will beat suffering. We will be comforted. We will be at peace. Now we see those things from time to time, but a time is coming when that will be the reality we live in throughout. And again, don't get me wrong. It's not saying that the story is about the future only. It saddens me when people live out their faith as if there is nothing for us now. It's captured in the story of the disciples in a boat that Jesus got them onto, and then they were caught up in a storm. Such a bad storm that they felt they were going to die, you know? And they started just crying out, and these were fishermen. Like, we're going to die. We might read that story, and because we know the end, we go, well, they were just being dramatic. I think they were really going to die. And guess what? Jesus is in the boat, and he's just asleep. Isn't it cool? It doesn't feel so cool if you're in that boat. If you're Peter telling the story, it's a bit exciting. You know what Jesus was doing. He was just asleep. But if you're in that boat at that moment, it doesn't feel so cool that Jesus is sleeping. But if you think about it, isn't it cool that this is what God in a stormy sea looks like? Unchanging. Non-anxious. He's not worried about the outcome. See, we get anxious because we're very worried about the outcome. And God is sitting in that boat with us, and he's not worried about the outcome. I think this is the end of me. And God is just resting. He's not worried about the outcome. I don't know what tomorrow will look like. Well, God is there resting. He's not worried about the outcome. Unshaken, unchanging. And really what we need in our life, as things will keep changing, is a non-anxious presence. Just God moving in. And we can be losing our mind, and he's looking at us, very calm, unshaken, unchanging. Anyway, they wake him up. Can't you see we're about to die? And Jesus calms the sea. But here's the good news. He didn't wait to calm the sea after they died. That's a bit of comfort. That the good news of the kingdom was a now business. He didn't wait until after they died. Oh, sorry guys, I did calm the sea, but y'all are gone already. They watched as he calmed the sea. They watched as he changed things. They watched as he spoke to nature, as he spoke to their heart, as he calmed, as he stopped what they thought was inevitable. They watched God's kingdom breaking through before their eyes. See, the kingdom of God is for now. The storms that we've seen calmed in our lives are evidence that the kingdom of God is breaking out. That we can plant ourselves in a hope for better things. The good news is that the evidence of everything God has done, and sometimes we count everything he hasn't done. The good news is that the evidence of everything God has done tells us that he is faithful to do more. I think it's God's kingdom breakout when we can't even explain the mercy of God in East Africa, that we didn't get as hit as the world expected us to be. That's God's mercy. That's the evidence of God's kingdom breaking out. And it tells us that we can trust him in the next storm. I think it's God's kingdom come when so many people lost their jobs, but God still provided. The comfort during times of grief and loneliness that you never thought you could have had. The outpouring of God's kingdom when we've gathered online and now we're back, we're seeing God move. These are evidences of God's kingdom come. The stories of healing that we've had, these are evidences of God's kingdom come. These are storms being calmed. Yet the interesting thing is, this wasn't the last storm they were in. One, they were fishermen, so they probably went back to sea. So they probably were in another storm. Paul, another church leader, was actually shipwrecked. They almost died. So Jesus calmed one storm, and it didn't mean they were never going to be in a storm again. Jesus calmed one storm, and it didn't mean they were never going to be in a storm again. It wasn't the last storm, you know. We just talked about, a few weeks ago, we talked about the story of Lazarus, and Jesus raised him from the dead, and here's the other truth. Lazarus died again. There's something more. There's something more, you know. See, we've seen God's kingdom break out, but we know where the shoe is still pinching. So we know too well that the promise of God, there has to be something more. And that's why the resurrection of Jesus is the first fruit for what we're going to receive. God is saying, hey, because listen, Jesus calmed that storm. If they stayed in that same sea too long, there could have been another storm. The Sea of Galilee is known for those. So their best option was to get on the other side. If there were not going to be another storm, it was to get out of the sea. There is the other side of the sea. That's where we're going to. That's part of the story. We know where the shoe is still pinching. Some businesses are restricted still, even as Kenya opens up. Some have fallen sick. You know, the world might fight this battle a little longer into 2021. The reality of life is that we are always in a crisis or resting right before the next one. So what's going on? The evidences of God's kingdom breaking out are like down payments. They're down payments. God is saying, look at what is coming. If you've ever experienced physical healing, it's exciting, it's mind-blowing. Yet that isn't even what we should be longing for. I'm not saying we should long for physical healing. I'm just saying that's nothing compared to what God is bringing. If you've ever prayed earnestly for something and you felt God say yes and it came to pass and you were excited, great, that is God's kingdom come. But that's nothing compared to what God is bringing out. If you've experienced emotional or spiritual healing or psychological healing, that's great news, but it is nothing compared to what is coming. Which then tells us that even for the places we are still waiting, even for the places we are still hurting, we can trust. But you know what? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. See, our hope isn't to stay in a stormy sea with calm storms. Our hope is that there will be no more storms. And I think that's why Peter can talk about joy despite the persecution he's going through. I think that's why Peter can say, guys, just hold on a little longer. And the disciples lived as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. So they were okay waiting a little longer. They knew it was happening imminently. And so Peter is writing, oh, I'm excited. This guy is hiding somewhere. This guy has been in prison a few times, and he's going, oh, I'm excited. Why? Because our King is coming. Our God is coming. Hold on a little longer, people. I know you're being persecuted. I know you're going through a lot of trials, but hold on. Oh, things are going to change. Our hope is in true joy, the joy of God's kingdom. It's not about getting into a good marriage. It's not about getting a good job tomorrow. It's not about a better day tomorrow. It's not about the world going back to something we recognize by the time 2021 is here. That's not our hope. Our hope is God's kingdom come. Here's what that promise looks like in Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eye and eliminate death entirely. Our hope isn't just a short resurrection like Lazarus. It's that death will be wiped away entirely. No one will mourn or weep any longer. The pain of wounds will no longer exist. For the old order has ceased. In the meantime, it does not make sense to us. And it gets even more confusing when we go, well, God, you showed up for Jackson. Why didn't you show up for me? It gets even a little bit more confusing. God, how? I thought you said this. How could this fall apart? In the meantime, it does not make sense to us why Jesus would be with us in the boat and the storm would still rage. In the meantime, it does not make sense to us. And it looks like he is sleeping. It does not make sense to us. In this moment, especially if he invited you to get into that boat. Have you ever felt like you started something, you got into something that God himself invited you into, and it felt like the whole world was crashing on you? It's like, but you said go, and I obeyed. What's happening? You told me to get into the boat, and now there's a storm, and you are sleeping. In the meantime, suffering makes no sense. In the meantime, all the change that's happening so fast is causing a whiplash. It's overwhelming. Yet even the glimpses of answered prayers, the breakthrough, the joy, the healing, is nothing compared to what's coming. Even the glimpses of those, even the beautiful stories we could tell of how we experienced God's presence in worship, of how God moved on our behalf, even those stories are nothing compared to what's coming. This is our unchanging hope. This is where we anchor our souls. For a time where there will be no more grief. It's not I will be comforted from grief, but every single tear will be wiped. It's not just comfort we're looking forward to. We're looking for the wiping away of our tears. This is our unchanging hope. This is our unchanging hope that it's not just that we will receive physical healing, emotional healing, because all our ailments are a foretaste of death. It kind of tells us our body won't last very long. Our hope isn't just to get healed. Our hope is that death itself will be defeated. We'll be no more. This is our hope. That there's a greater joy that awaits us, and we can anchor our souls in this unchanging hope. I want to invite the band back on stage. How do we then anchor ourselves in unchanging hope? And I think there's something to what Peter says. Praise. Praise. I think praising changes where our hearts and our minds stand. Praising, living a life of praise despite everything we're going through, changes. It breathes hope into our bones again. And you know, this is the measure of matured faith. When we learn to praise, not because things are going so great, but we learn to praise even when things aren't going so great. When we learn to praise, not when things seem familiar and we have a bit of rest, but we learn to praise even when things are changing faster than we'd hope. Praise. Praise is how we anchor our souls in unchanging hope. So if you're in the room, I invite you to stand. If you're at home, you could stand too, if that's okay with you. And praise isn't necessarily, it could be jump up and down. But as the band sings over us, I invite you to bring yourself to a place of praise. So I want to ask you these questions and leave you just meditating on them. You can join in the singing or you can just stand there quietly. At home, you can join in the singing or you can just sit there quietly. What are some of those places where you've gone? Where are you gone? Or why are you sleeping when I'm in a storm? What are some of those changes that have just been a little too heavy? How about we bring them into conversation with Jesus? And I don't want us to linger there. What are some of those places where you've seen God's kingdom come? Yes, there's one, two places where you're still waiting and you're saying, how long, Lord? But what are some of those places where you've seen God's kingdom come? And I want us to praise Him. Not just praise Him for where we've seen God's kingdom come, but praise Him because He is God. Praise Him because He is good. Praise Him because we are anchored in Him and nothing can take that away. So the death and resurrection of Jesus are a complete down payment. That's actually the complete payment. It seals our future. It seals our hope. It says that the worst thing is not the last thing. The hardest thing is not the last thing. It doesn't have the last say. And so Jesus had his disciples for a supper, and he gave them a glimpse of what this looks like. And he broke bread and he passed a glass of wine and said, listen, this is my body. It's broken so that you will be made whole. Not so that you will be stitched and no, you'll be made completely whole. This is our hope. And the cup, so that we may be called sons and daughters of God. Not so that we are cousins or we are any less than. No, we are co-heirs with Jesus. We are sons and daughters just like Jesus is. And that is great news. That you're accepted, that I'm accepted. So I want to read this poem over you, and then we'll share in communion. Isaiah 35:3-4. So with confidence and hope in this message, strengthen those with feeble hands, show up the weak need and the weary, tell those who worry, the anxious and the fearful, take strength. Have courage. There's nothing to fear. Look, here, your God, right here is your God. The balance is shifting. God will right all wrongs. None other than God will give you success. He is coming to keep you safe. Take the bread. Take the cup.